Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Silicon Valley is Susan Dworak. Susan is the CEO of Real Identities and the author of the chapter Compliance and Fake IDs, Complications of Checking ID and Confirming Identity in the new edition of the Complete Compliance and Ethics Manual. First of all, Susan, thanks for taking the time to talk to us and for authoring the chapter.
Great to talk with you, Adam. Thanks so much for having me.
Our pleasure. Now, other than companies that sell alcohol or tobacco, you know, where we all know people need to get their IDs checked, what businesses need to have employees trained in checking IDs?
So any business selling, serving, or now the biggest business during COVID delivering regulated product, including, as you noted, alcohol and tobacco, but also cannabis, firearms, and pharmaceuticals are required to check ID. And there's also a very long list. For example, in finance, we have banking, in legal, we have notaries and government clerks. In business in general, human resources needs to check IDs for any industry. We're seeing a lot of ID fraud as it relates to the job market. Also hospitality, such as hotels and casinos. We've got medical, dental fraud, and hospital fraud, unfortunately, is on the rise. We're seeing a lot of sharing of insurance cards and IDs. And last, government. And, you know, when we look at government, we're talking about law enforcement, welfare offices, schools and universities, and so certainly some of those are private, but federal property and transportation. And on that note, with transportation, when we talk about, for example, the TSA, I always like to caution compliance folks in private industries in comparing themselves to ID checking solutions with government solutions. And I'll give you an example. The TSA has come out with some new scanners. They're fabulous. Each one, however, is $30,000. That is each unit. Most private industry folks don't have that. They are also not used in environments with highly trained law enforcement who are uniformed and armed and ready to take you out of this very secure environment in any place. So people can't say, if the TSA uses scanners, scanners must be good. We'll use those. And I'll explain a little bit more as we go forward, because it's really important that compliance folks understand their specific needs and their protocols for checking ID and what solutions they can use.
Wow, interesting. I had no idea those scanners were that expensive. Now, what should employees be trained to look for when assessing an ID?
That is a great question, and it's the key question. It is the employees, that is the humans, need to be trained in what to look for on IDs, and that's the biggest challenge we're trying to solve. So the most common ID used in the United States is the driver license, the little plastic ID card. Now, we are seeing a trajectory of IDs from the plastic ID card to the mobile driver license, which is the driver license on a cell phone. And that fraud is increasing because, of course, it's digital, very easy to forge. We're also seeing biometrics, bio meaning of the body, metrics meaning measurement, things like fingerprints and irises and whatnot. And also, last and not least, blockchain. But let's talk about the driver license because that is the most popular. When we look at this, there are 50 states, DC, and many territories, and there's no common denominator on any of these IDs. And that results in currently over 800 versions and variations of driver license in the US, right? So in the United States, we have over 800 valid versions and variations of driver license. All of those have anywhere from 20 to 100 security features, overt, covert, and forensic, on the front and back, all of which change frequently, and they don't phase out. So at any given time, a jurisdiction can have multiple driver licenses that look very, very different on their face and on the back. So the problem is, if you don't have 24/7 access to those images to see, aha, these are the clear, correct, and current images for that state, and these are the clear and current correct security features on that ID, there's no way you can memorize it. You have to have access to these images because, you know, here's the thing, the bad guys, that is people who alter and forge fake IDs, they make mistakes, in fact, multiple mistakes on every one of those IDs. So our goal is to show human beings and train them on what to look for with real IDs and fake IDs side by side so they can instantly tell the difference between a real ID and fake ID.
Well, I had no idea there were that many versions of every state's driver's license. So what are some of the legal and reputational risks to employees or employers who aren't effective at checking IDs?
Okay, so very important. Reputational risks are huge. There's a lot of brand damage there. For example, a lot of folks don't know that the Las Vegas shooter checked into the hotel with a fake ID. The Oklahoma City bomber rented a truck that he used to blow up a city building with a fake ID. The 9/11 terrorists rented apartments, took flight lessons, boarded flights, all with fake IDs. I won't mention those company names, pretty widely known now, but there's obviously huge brand damage there. And then there is, as you know, very definitely legal and financial liability, and not just civil and criminal, but also on the agency level, and that could be federal, state, or local. And I'll give you an example now, very timely with COVID. Delivery, because we do have employees and independent contractors, and a lot of large national brands and also smaller companies are using third parties, that is third party delivery companies. And the biggest compliance issue here is due diligence. So let me give you a representative example just to put it in context. Here's a scenario, very large brand that has thousands of locations in nearly every state across the United States, hires delivery drivers, a third-party delivery company, to deliver their, let's say, alcohol. The city where a particular store is located mandates the use of scanners. The company, as a national brand, requires the use of scanners. So an order is placed online. The delivery person comes to the venue. They pick up the alcohol, they deliver it, and unfortunately, they deliver it to an underage drinker. They're called in front of the state ABC, Alcoholic Beverage Control, or whatever agency it may be. And the judge says, you now have a fine and a misdemeanor, and your company is going to lose its license, and they're going to have a really big fine. And the worker says, but I did everything I was supposed to do. The local jurisdiction mandated the use of an ID scanner, and this brand required the use of an ID scanner. And the judge looks back at that person and says, I don't care. And this is true of every jurisdiction in the United States. You are required to do due diligence. If you are required to confirm identity and check ID, you must properly and thoroughly check that ID. You must perform due diligence. And under section blah, blah, blah of our code, you didn't do that because taking a little piece of plastic called an ID and sliding it through a slot or using a cell phone to scan it is not considered properly and thoroughly checking ID. And that's the biggest risk area for compliance folks.
It's scary to think about. Now, one issue that checking IDs creates is the collection of personally identifiable information. What controls should organizations have in place for dealing with this data?
Okay. So recently, as it relates to personally identifiable information, which is synonymous with personally identifiable data, they call it PII or PID, we saw that Europe enacted what everyone knows as GDPR. And people said, well, why do I care about GDPR? It's over in the EU. Well, if those citizens are here, it may apply to you. The jurisdiction is very broad, but more importantly and more specifically, in the United States, we are seeing the strengthening of federal and state laws as it relates to privacy. And you may have noticed, and folks may have noticed, when they go onto websites now, they're given an opt-out notice. Well, what does that mean? That means that you're opting out of these companies selling, sharing, indirectly, directly, in any way distributing your personally identifiable information. And by the way, that standard is very low. If it's one bit of data that can identify you, it is considered personally identifiable information. So what's important for organizations in having something in place is to understand who it is you're dealing with, what data do you have, why are you collecting that data, why are you storing it, if at all, and how are you storing it? So the answer here by way of controls is talking to the legal side and also the tech side. You cannot guess. You must contact legal counsel who specifically deal with privacy issues, and you also have to talk to tech guys. If you're not a tech person, find one and the right one. Different industries have different compliance standards, so we've got to determine what's warranted for the environment and for the transactions for each company.
Now, businesses often rely on third-party solutions for things like identity scanners. What questions should they be asking those third parties?
Right. You know, one of the things I say, and this is rather tongue-in-cheek, but I say, ask them, will you defend me? Will you defend my company, my license, my workers, if your ID scanner fails to catch a fake ID? And the answer is a resounding no. So what I recommend that everyone in compliance and any role do is read the disclaimers. Don't read the marketing materials. Go into the disclaimers for the ID scanner and learn about the vulnerabilities, because nearly every one of them is going to tell you the software fails here, the device fails there, and that's what's really important. You really need to know the hardware and the software. And again, if you're not a tech person, you need to find one and the right one, because you can't guess. And one of the biggest issues, as we know, with PII, personally identifiable information, is hacking. And if the user of the ID scanner is responsible, in most cases, of ensuring that, you know, for example, the Wi-Fi is secure, the internet security protocol is in place, et cetera, that is rarely done. All it takes is one old router or one old device or one device that doesn't have security in place, or even one mediocre hacker. And the system is breached. And the problem when it comes to IDs is that fake IDs are built to fool scanners. And unfortunately, the bad guys have out-monetized and out-technologized and just about everything, out-everything the government, right? And fake IDs are very lucrative. Identity theft is very lucrative. In fact, some fake ID manufacturers boast about getting 10,000 requests a day. And even if they fulfill 10% of that, let's just say 1,000 IDs a day at a profit of $100, that's $100,000 of profit in one day. So it's really important, again, to understand what hardware and what software you're working with.
Well, Susan, thank you so much for sharing these insights with us, both here on this podcast as well as in the Complete Compliance and Ethics Manual. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen today. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.